Master, again we cannot express ourselves as we ought to do concerning your grace and mercy, your love to us. We know it's in the Word, and we accept that. We accept also that which is given us by revelation. But we do know that since we passed from death unto life, we do know that your love is shed abroad in our hearts. We do know that you loved us before we first loved you. And we do know, Lord, over the years it's shown that that love is there somehow, not the degree we wanted, Lord. I don't suppose anyone outside of Jesus Christ ever had the measure he did, would not trade for something else, a little higher, a little better. But, Lord, we're all striving and struggling upward, knowing that somehow when it comes right down to the nitty-gritty, the end of the line, facing death, facing life, whatever we're facing, we know, Lord, that we do love you and we do desire to serve you. We want to do your will. We want what you want for us, Heavenly Father. I just wish we had a better way of expressing it, learning how to be more obedient to the Holy Spirit, getting out of the way of this life into your life. Help us this morning somehow to achieve that, Lord, because that's what's set forth in this message, that your great servant, the prophet William Branham Priest, will be careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, this is token number 12, and thus far we have proceeded through about 16 hours of discussing the subject matter of this message, which Brother Branham termed the token. Now, we know without a doubt what Brother Branham meant when he said the token could come only now at the last age at evening time. And I trust I haven't made a statement there that's partly fallacious, because I trust that you do know exactly what he meant when he said the token could only come at this hour at evening time. We also know exactly what the token is. That's been thoroughly brought up many times. We are well aware of the necessity and the significance of receiving a part of that token, which is called the baptism with the Holy Ghost. We are very knowledgeable concerning the unanimity of the token and the Word. It's the same when you see Logos and understand that. That's merely the Holy Spirit in a manifestation. It's God. And I don't mean merely. I just mean that in the sense that that is it. So don't try to take it too far one way or the other. We are truly enlightened at this time as to the effect of the token in our family, community lives, and our personal lives. I'm going to stop you just a second and go back to page 46. We're on 53. And read it, Brother Branham said, "Let me be your brother. Let me live the example of what Christ said a man should be. Let me be a brother to a brother to a sister. Let me be a minister to the ministers. Let me be an example of examples. Let me show to the world that this word is Christ, and the only way I can do it is come into him, because I can't do it myself. You can't do it. But let the word and you become one, and it lives itself out." And that is true. You must let the Holy Spirit come in. That gives a oneness. But then there must be the acknowledgement of that oneness, the realization. In the last message, we left off reading Brother Branham's statements on the token in our personal lives. After he was talking about the token in our personal lives, how and what we have in and through that token. And so I'm just going to start reading here at this particular point. "And in him is no death." That's what you have in him, because there is no death in him. So you in him obviates death. It brings it to naught. "In him is no sorrow. In him is no weary." I think that word is kind of used in the North as worry, but it also could mean something like a pining, a weariness, kind of a sadness. Brother Branham said his own life was filled with that weariness. We call it, "I'm just weary," he said. And it wasn't repining, but it was just a kind of sadness. A blueness, he called it blueness. "In him is no sin. In him is no sickness. In him is no death." He repeats that. That's true, because there's two deaths, first and second. We are in him. That's the statement. If Satan tries to hand you something like sickness, just take your token and apply it. In other words, don't try to fight it yourself. By your faith, try to get into the Spirit, like he mentioned that in the Revelation series way back in about, 1960, somewhere in that area. And he said John was in the Spirit. Get into the Spirit. Now, we're into the Spirit as far as being baptized into, and the Spirit in us, a certain oneness, but there is an atmosphere that he said should be created when you attempt to use the influence of God or the Spirit of God in your life, which in really should be said, when you want to be under the domination of the Holy Spirit, you, in order to be a benefit to someone, even to yourself, you must get into that atmosphere. There is no other way to do it. And there is an atmosphere of healing, which in plain English is you get into the revelation of it. You get into the mechanical word of it until it becomes real. You read it and you look at it in the scripture and you think of it and you put your energy, your spiritual mind and energy at it until you somehow know this is it. And when it is, you just walk and leave it there and you see the results come. This is a real proven way of doing it. And he said, when you got sickness, apply the token. Oh my, take your token and apply it. Now listen, apply it. That you are a purchased product of Jesus Christ. And remember, Satan doesn't have charge of that. Wouldn't it be great if he said, I've purchased you and I've let Satan be your shepherd? That's pretty well what we believe. We pretty well sort of were sheep turned loose in the pasture for the dingoes and the wild dogs and wolves and coyotes to come in and just destroy us. That isn't true. I'm a little afraid that at the end of the trail, we're going to find that this age was an age that he would have to spew out of his mouth. Let's face it. There's just no two ways of putting it. Remember that you are a purchased product of Jesus Christ. The token stands that the fare is paid. What's he talking about? Healing. By his stripes we were healed. By his bruise we were healed. See, a positive faith and a positive word has been demonstrated. Remember what Brother Branham was able to reveal to us through the Holy Spirit, or God revealed through the Holy Spirit through Brother Branham, is the sign of the resurrection. No sign is given this wicked generation except the sign of Jonas, the sign of the resurrection. And so what is it? God sending his Son in the form of the Holy Spirit to us in this hour, doing exactly what was done in the form of the human body. Never forget that. The fare is paid. He says, when you die, you're lost. The devil says that. So you answer and say, you're wrong. One, I have the purchased product. What is the purchased product? He died in order to give the Holy Ghost. He said, if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit cannot come. He spoke of his demise. But he said, if I die, then the Holy Spirit can come. The blood sanctifies the vessel in order to make a fit home for the Holy Spirit. All right, number two, I am the purchased product. I'm a purchased product. I have the purchased product. I have the token. I am a tokener, so to speak, a Christian. See, what is the token? So that's the question asked the devil. He knows what it is. Don't fool him. He knows what it is. In other words, don't try to have an argument. Don't try to present what isn't the token. Now, you see, he came to Jesus that time in the temptation, and he said, if you're the Son of God, do this, do this, do this. And Jesus stood right there and gave him those answers flat back. Now, this is manifested that the same one that he tried to test in the flesh is here now. And so if you give him that answer, you're not fooling him, and he doesn't fool with it. He knows exactly what's being demonstrated. Amen. Now, you see, the devil's pretty smart. Well, he's not so smart. He's actually very stupid. But the point of the matter is that he's long-lived. He's been here just about as long as, he's been longer in the world system. He was in the original creation when Gabriel and Dan and Michael and all the rest were there. See, the cherubim were there. So when he found out how it didn't pay off to try to tempt Jesus Christ, and he found out exactly who Jesus Christ was in the temptation and in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, don't you think he knows who he is? Why, certainly he knows far more than the church member, the bishop, the cardinal, the pope, and the general superintendent, and the secretary, and a whole bunch of them. He keeps better books on the Bible than the rest do. Is that he knows what it is. Now you might talk to some of these preachers, and they would argue with you. Not Satan. He knows better. Yeah. He came against it two or three times, and made a mistake of temptation. Sure, he came across it. Came in the temptation at the cross and the resurrection. Satan knows what you're talking about. Just show that token, he will fly. In other words, get behind the revealed living word that's been manifested. And I use living word manifested as logos as well as printed. Just show the token, he will fly. Why? It's a sealed product. He can't break that open and get something in there that is not right. Now you see, what is it, the sealing? What is the sealing? The sealing or the sealer is the Holy Spirit. And remember, the Holy Spirit, did I read that back here to you? We are very knowledgeable concerning the unanimity of the token and the word. I read that, didn't I? The oneness of the word, we're very knowledgeable. They're one. Are we knowledgeable? See, if you can quote the word of God and you don't realize that is the word of the hour and the life is here now in you and the whole life is with us, you're a little bit hazy. And I'm not saying you are. I'm in the same boat. We're all in the same position, see. you as a principal. And so what we're looking at here then is when we're talking about it's a sealed product, you can't break that open and get something in there that is not right. See, something in there is not right. We're talking of the fact that you can stand there with your assurance and you can say, all right, now I'm standing here. There's nothing you can bring into my mind that's going to throw me from this healing. There's nothing that's going to break in that can take it away from me. Here I stand, and I stand here inviolate. You can't be violated. You can't be seduced. The elect cannot be deceived. So there's a growing up in this token just from these couple paragraphs here that we must come into. We don't major especially in healing, but we must come back to healing as we have not previously done so over the years that Brother Branham has departed. That doesn't mean that I'm going to take up the healing ministry again, because all people are not called to that, and I certainly am not, except in a very limited way. Oh my, a sealed product. Yes, sir, you are purchased. Hold the token over your unmovable faith in his promise. He said, I don't have an unmovable faith. You do too, because your faith is there. Now, if you receive that, then your faith is unmovable, because that's unmovable. You try someone to dispose of it and get rid of it, or to put it out of existence, or do something about it. Now, anybody can take pot shots at it. That doesn't mean a thing. Try to undo what was said. Try to undo what was accomplished. You can't do it, see? See? A sealed promise. The unmovable faith that you have. Live or die, sink or swim. This is it. Watch him go. Now he says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Then what is an effectual, fervent prayer? Just what he described. To realize you have the purchase token. Realize that you are a purchased possession yourself of God. Realize that you are sealed in. Realize that your faith is in this message here. And Brother Branham said, take this message for your healing. See, for your complete restoration, for your consolation, the whole thing. All right, personally, this thought here, a sealed product, this is personally to every single member, and it's to every one of us as a family. We are sealed in. Now, if we took that attitude, we are a family. What would there be dead over here? I don't suppose I wrote it down. That's the trouble with me. It doesn't matter anyway. He mentioned about a family. Now, if we will begin to realize that we are a sealed family and Satan cannot break in to destroy us, we follow the concept of Brother Branham taught us, which is somebody comes in and you accept that person, and that person begins to work among you, where the church could be torn up, you just treat them in love until you love them in or love them out. Now remember, a person can only stand so much love. You look at marriages, and you let one of the parties start to give a lot of love. The person that's causing the problem either will get so much love he breaks down, or he gets so much love he'll walk out, because he can't take it. He knows he's a skunk or she's a skunk. And I don't know if a skunk is worse than a snake or not, whether it does this. Skunk run from a snake because he's bite, or the snake run from a skunk because of the smell. Hi, yay, yay. These questions are too deep for me. My philosophy, my psychology, and insight does not go that far. You figure it out. But the effects of fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This is it. And we are one big family and the Lord Jesus Christ, and we should take that to heart. Take that token. That is what it is for. Satan is there to tempt you. He was in Egypt to tempt. And also, he was over there in Jericho. Why, you know up there when Rahab, that harlot, put that string down, I imagine some of those soldiers laughed and made fun of the crazy old woman up there. Why, she's off her head. Look what she's got. Got that silly string. Why did you ever hear such? Why, Dr. Jones down here says there's nothing to it. But there was, because the messenger from God brought the message home. Now, that's paradox. You're right back to paradox. See? The little things are the foolers. And today we are vindicated that the blood is very much in evidence because the life is here. You know, people, that they still worry about that blood off the mercy seat or not. I just don't know why they're concerned about it. Because it's the life. The blood was shed already. It's all over. The earth is purified. There's no more sacrifice. But there's a continuation of life. So, however you want to express it, it's merely, in many instances, my understanding would be a way of saying a truth in a very important and wonderful way. Don't you imagine Gibson said, look at that crazy bunch of holy rollers putting blood out there. Won't they have a mess to wash off now? Oh my, those big fine homes all covered over with blood. What a stench. I'll bet that will be horrible in a few days. Doesn't mean a thing. You know what? Holy Father said so-and-so. Doesn't mean anything. It does mean something to us who believe it. Now, he's bringing out type and antitype. Back there in Egypt, they applied the blood, and of course, it would break down, and if you put enough on it, it would smell. It would cause an awful lot of reaction that wasn't a good effect for you as far as you're concerned. You've got the same thing in this ministry. You don't think for one minute if the blood was sneered at, that the Holy Spirit would not be sneered at? You got to be kidding. Come on, if they hate the woman and the man, they hate the kids. You know, let's face it, you got to hate proposition here and the love proposition. All right, just remember your unmovable faith that you've got in this word. What word? This word. Not in your word, not what you came out of, this word. You say, well, Brother Bill, I don't know they understand, and I got these thoughts in my mind. But just a minute, if you really knew that word, wouldn't you take that word above what you're thinking because you're kind of mixed up? You say, yeah, well, you got faith in that word. And so quit mumbling yourself up for Pete's sake. I mean, look at you. You got a bunch of screws loose. Please don't ask me or somebody to take a hammer and loosen some more up for you. Or hit yourself on the head to loosen some more. That's ridiculous. Get your faith pinned down. Begin to realize this is out of your hands. I will send Elijah. But listen, folks, tell me what you want him to do and what to say, and I will listen. You think that's God? When did he tell you to say something? Brother Branson, you ain't got a thought coming.
Amen.
I'm sure he said it, because it's got to be in here somewhere. There's no way he couldn't have said it. He didn't put it quite succinctly. He sure put it in there anyway. Sure. Remember your unmovable faith that you've got in this word. Now you're not Eve anymore. I'm not? Not Eve anymore. Oh, come sure. Oh, did you think it up by yourself? You didn't think it by yourself. Brother Branham thought it up by the power of God, through the voice of God. See? You're not Eve anymore. You're not one of those doubters. I'm not? No. Why? Because you believe this. Anything else you doubt is not based on this. So therefore, you are not a doubter in this.
Amen.
Now, you can doubt anything else, that's fine. Doubt the switch on the wall is going to turn the light on. Dinner will be fried when you get home, might be fried to a crisp. Doubt anything. His brother Boz said, doubt your doubts. They're unreliable. But if you don't doubt that, then you are a believer.
Amen.
You follow? See, the whole thing is such a simple thing, as Brother Branham said, my, he said, it's so simple, it's just going over your head. Too much in the head. Hey, that's right. Take it out like Paul did. Not very good anyway. He said, you're not one of these doubters compromising with Satan. You hold every word of God. Hold what every word of God? This. See? True faith in what we have beheld. This brings us over to John. Now, come on. Alpha is Omega. 1 John. So let's take a look at 1 John, and we're going to talk. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which your eyes have seen, which we looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word light. The prophet is the living word of God being manifested. Oh, what a sour note for those who love sour pickles. I love sweet pickles, and this is a very sweet pickle with jam on top of it. For the life was manifested. Where was it manifested? And we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Now he said, was with the Father, being near the Word, was with God, and the Word was God, was manifested right down here. Now we're going to tell you about it. I shook the hand of the man, yeah, and whom God was made manifest, the fullness of the Holy Spirit in human flesh manifested. Oh, people don't like that. That rocks the boat. Why, you're making him Jesus. I never called William Branham Jesus. I said to his face he was in Jesus. When the deity bunch out of Canada, oh, what comes out of Canada? Lord, have pity. Not just the cold winds. The northern lights are pretty, but they made him Jesus. And I said, Brother Branham, you're not Jesus because you didn't die to save me. But he was a receptacle like Moses, like Paul. Now, people don't want to believe that. Now, if you can't believe where the truth lies, you had better get to thinking again. Because you're not a believer. Now, I wouldn't say you're an unbeliever, but you're sort of docile and you've been faked up by the devil. And I'm going to tell you, you get somebody comatose, they're in bad shape. I hate to be vulgar, but what about that poor young woman comatose in a high, was pregnant by a man in the institution who worked there? Aren't you comatose? You can get pregnant by the devil just being comatose. So you see, the illustration wasn't as bad as you thought it was, to the point. Or thought it might be. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. We're going to make a testimony and bring it out in the open, unveil it. That you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Right now, repeat it. Right now, repeat it. And these things write we unto you that your joy might be full, or we're bringing you this message so you can be happy with us. See? Now that's beautiful. That's the token, see? All right? Now, he said, well, the Lord said so. She's ready to compromise. Satan said, but you know the Lord surely won't do a thing like that to a nice person like you. Oh, you're so lovely. Now they say, oh, surely the Lord wouldn't send Elijah when Jesus died and rose. Why, we've got these three lovely gods all in one place, and it's been all made up before the foundation of the world. The Father said to the Son, and the Son said to the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost said to the Father. He went back and forth, and it's a lovely dialogue. Now, surely with all this, he wouldn't send Elijah. Oh, you poor people, you're just, you know, you're swamped. You know the devil can heal. You see, God doesn't need healing anymore because, the Bible's been filled, and he doesn't need these signs, right? So the devil just creeps in and gets you poor little people off to one side. Snap. You just smile nicely and walk off. Oh, you're such a nice person. You're so lovely. This love stuff, hogwash. Oh, yes, he will too. God said he would do it. Well, my father was a minister, and I've been a minister. Can't help it. Without the token, you're lost. Present hour identification of the token, please. I'm not testifying to Luther's bunch and Pentecostal bunch. I'm not testifying down to the West Indies. They've done gone. I'm testifying to this age here. I'm talking of a present token. I'm not talking of yesteryear's word. I'm talking of this year's word. I don't have a testimony back there when I spoke in tongues and danced in the Spirit and did all those great things. I heard a guy on the tape wanted us all doing again. I simply don't care to dance in the Spirit. It'd be my Spirit anyway. Yeah. 10 to 1. And that could fool you whether it's God or not. How come, as Brother Brandon said, they all stopped dancing when the music stopped? And how come they got a peek out of one eye? It was really Spirit and God. They can move around even a tub of water or a couple of, you know, pins or anything else. And the devil can do the same thing too. Who wants something? Who wants that? Who wants anything like that? I want something unique. I'm a unique person. Sure. I want something unique. I don't belong to that crowd. You're unique. You don't belong to that crowd. And why do you want that crowd's hogwash and garbage? Why do you want dead manna? Why do you want a manifestation and palm it off and say that's it? Ha! I can make you happy, give you laughing gas. Tell a few jokes. Come on, brother, sister. This is different. This is what you're looking at. And you don't add to it. You don't take from it. You don't try to put it back on Pentecost, the new patch and old garments, Lutheran, Baptist, anything else. Don't understand people. I'm not intended to understand. Let God work them over, not me. Dead works. Can't help it without token you're lost. Present day. The wrath is upon you. What wrath? Day of the Lord. Judgment. That wasn't until now. And the token wasn't until now. That is all without the token. He said it would do it and he will do it. That just settles it. He said he would do it. Oh, I believe the days of miracles over. Well, the Pentecostals don't believe that. They just believe this is nonsense. See, we don't believe that. We do not stand for Hebrews 13 and 8 being Mark 16. Mark 16 is merely peripheral. Hebrews 13 and 8 is God Himself.
And then you take essentially and dynamically the same.
You'll understand then. Present hour identification. Judgment has been passed. The believer is secure. The others are condemned, leaving neither root nor branch. And it says, everyone but those who come under the Elijah message will die. They'll die by fire. Yes, but he said it wasn't. I said, here, in the days of miracles over, they said. But he said it wasn't. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. What miracles? Oh, not the healing, brother. Every the little things like that. Everybody accepts that. I'm talking of the pillar of fire and those things that were unique to the prophet of God. Angelic visitations, manifestations of thus saith the Lord. You bring thus saith the Lord to the body of Jesus Christ. Outside of a prophet, your whole Bible's shot. I'm talking of the unique, the different. Not the run of the mill, not something yesterday identified, but now. And remember, nothing is discarded which is life is coming up. So Mark 16 was never discarded. But token, Hebrews 13 and 8 never was since the time of Paul. And then it wasn't full. Because Paul said, I may know him in the power of his resurrection. We know him in the power of his resurrection, or we don't know something. Now let's get that down. How are you going to miss the things of God? Exodus out of the ground, exodus out of churches into glory and into millennium. Egress and entrance. Now to us we know it. To them they don't believe it. We know what? The token. That which is not just sympathetic and symptomatic of it, but reality. Although we might know the sympathetic and the symptomatic. Now we know it. To them they don't believe it, but we believe it. We know it is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the token. Now being in that, what? The token. We become part of the Word, and then take the token, the Spirit, over the promise. Now what you are into and what you have, you then put that over the Word. And you say, now look, I'm not standing on this Word alone. I'm standing on a spiritually, a God vindicated, a Spirit vindicated Word of Almighty God, and I'm placing it right here in front of me, and I'm standing behind it. And I'm not going to get away from it until God moves and gets me free, because Eve made the mistake of getting from behind it, talking and arguing, fussing, messing around, and falling for his blandishments, which I will not do. You got to stand like Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Time we got some iron-blooded faith like that old boy Job had. And let's face it, it's not beyond us, brother, sister. This is the hour of Ford because Job had personal visitation. Just like Abraham did. Great prophets of God. Now the whole bride been visited. Amen. Remember how Moses said way back there, would God the whole congregation could prophesy, just take my office over? Ha! You think William Branham wouldn't have been glad to get out and Paul the apostle? Everybody's a nut spiritually but the prophet. Almost everybody wants what doesn't belong to him or wants to get into what he shouldn't get into. Just like the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. Ask any cow and she'll tell you. Even to the extent of getting your throat cut on barbed wire and an electric shock going through your whole body. It's funny, you can train a pig quicker. You don't believe that? Come on now. Ask a pig, she'll tell you flat. We give a pig a shock, it's the first thing to stand back and squeal. He just stand back and squeal. He wants that. He'll kick up a ruckus, but it takes a long time to get that old boy. Vince, you ought to take another shot of electricity. But you get these so-called Christians. Get shot by the devil every single time. Get from behind that word. Now, being in that, we become part of the word and then take the token of the Spirit over the promise. Notice he calls the token of the Spirit. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Who is he talking about? The one there, the token. The Holy Spirit, God Himself, I am the great healer. I am here. Now you have a part of me in you, and I am with over the bride. Now I'll seal in. So now how are you fortified? I am fortified to the extent of my healing, it is mine. Now, the devil will try to get it away from you, but remember you are sealed in there. Take the token. Hang it over the word. On your unmovable faith in that word. What word? That word. The demonstrated word of the prophet. And you'll get him out. That is the thing that puts him out. Because in Christ, there is no such thing as illness, sickness. Which I could testify a little bit now of some things I've seen happen just in the past few weeks.
Oh, what I could testify. You know, Luke said if all Jesus did would be put in books, there wouldn't be enough books in the world to write it. See? Now, the prophet puts his faith in this great visitation the same as we are to put our faith in it. Because the husbandman is the first partaker. Now, notice Brother Branham puts his own personal faith in this. The same as Moses, the same as Paul. In the face of ridicule and denial. Now, just what I've seen in my own ministry, saw him do. You couldn't pile the volumes on this platform if I wrote in the details what I saw him do in just my own ministry. Saw him do it. He had more success in my ministry than he did in his own. Now remember, he had more success than I did. Not I, he had. Glory, hallelujah. He had more success in Jeffersonville than he did in Nazareth. Notice he compares Jeff to Nazareth and he compares Tucson to Jerusalem. Well, it's all right, it's just a comparison. He did, in that wicked city, in this wicked city. Amen, glory, because he could perform no miracles there, but he did here. He finally broke through here. He got it done here. See? Now, he might have had to get people from somewhere else in here, but he got it done anyhow. So he had more success right here, talking of the geography where the city stood rather than the city itself. See? Right here than he did in Capernaum or Nazareth. He did more miracles right here in this tabernacle than he did in his entire ministry on earth. That is right, he did it. Now, what about the rest of the world? Oh, my. Now, that is what he did. Now, remember, he did. Now, I didn't say I did. See, because I didn't do it. That's out in Africa. Look at it. 30,000 one-time converted. Truckloads of crutches were sent down the streets, I guess, of Durban. When did that happen in the Bible here? Nothing is said in the Bible about truckloads of crutches. Wheelchairs and things. Not that there weren't a lot of miracles. See, but notice, as Brother Brand said, now, I didn't do it. I just loved him and submitted myself to him and said what he said. The Holy Spirit went to the other people. They believed what he said, and then he did the work, and that is all. Now, listen, you and I cannot actually do that. That was his ministry. But we can be little sparks that fly off the great star that God sent here. By what? Submitting ourselves, loving him, saying what the prophet said, and then in such a way and atmosphere that people believe it, then God will do the work. If he can get all of us believing it, what would he do right now? Watch this now. Like I preached, if you only knew who I am. What would he do right now if he can get all of us believing it right now? There wouldn't be a feeble person around the country if he could get everybody to believe it. It would be all over what? That he is there with God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the token himself, doing the same thing as what he did yesterday, he is doing now, which is the proof that this is the living word of this hour. And if you take that, that's all it would have taken for an entire congregation to turn the world upside down. That's why now, if only 10 people get in one place with one mind, there is bound to be a rapture. See, because your faith is not humanly built. It's not built on a theology. But theology is good. Don't try to pan theology. There's bad theology, which is the wrong thing about God. There is the true theology, which is the truth. This is the true theology. This is the true God. This is the true servant of Almighty God. He came down as he said. Now, people look the Bible over and they say, well, this is how he said. This is how he did what he said. Well, they say, I don't think that because, you see, I believe he'd do it my way. Hogwash. He does it his way. See, that's the trouble. It'd be all overseas. If we could see that he was God's prophet with the return ministry of Jesus Christ, the sign of the resurrection, we'd have all been healed. Hold your token over your unmovable faith. Hold your token over your unmovable faith in his promised word in Satan's law. What promised word? The word of the hour. Look, don't try to line it up in this whole book, brother, sister. You can't do it. Look, the truth came up. That the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. It didn't stop there. It went on, embellished, went on, embellished, went on, embellished. As it went on, embellished, it died unembellished. And it died unembellished. The thread was there, on and on, until the caterpillar, the locust, the palmer worm, the canker worm, grasshopper, no locust, he's the same thing, ate the whole thing down to a nub. But there was life in there, like the tree that was cut down in Nebuchadnezzar's time. He was that tree cut down. They turned him out to the beast of the field. He lived wild. His hair grew like feathers. But in there was that life that came back, and he exalted the God of heaven with a revelation like a prophet. Now you've got the same thing, that life has come up. But you don't take that which was around that life. You take what's around the life now, and there it is. See? That's where your faith is. So therefore your faith, when Paul lived by the faith of the Son of God, it wasn't his own faith, it was the faith that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had, which he said, all the Father giveth me will come to me, and I'll lose none, but raise him up for the last day. So you're living by his faith. You're living by his faithfulness. And his faith and his faithfulness developed this and brought this, so therefore that's what you and I are living by. You're not living by any other faith. So that's what you've got to put your thinking on. And your understanding on, see? Because this is pertinent to this hour. And Brother Branham said the rest was wiggletail. Are you following me? This is where you've got to get your mind renewed. You've got to get that 4x4 club and back yourself on this side and back yourself on that side. With the deacons and the elders and the preachers, anybody can get to back you through more times to get the brains lined up. See? Man is too corrupt with the thoughts of Satan and theology, which is damnable. So he can't accept the fact that God has a portion of his word for every hour. And the great portioner himself has come down with what belongs to this hour. And if you believe that, that's all you need to believe. You don't become like this German fellow over there in Germany who runs around trying to, was spouting off, Brother Branham's wrong because he didn't explain Zachariah, and he could do it. And he was this and he was that. He was a fat-headed adulterer. And his adultery only showed he was committing adultery with the word of Almighty God. Now put that in your Pentecostal pipe and smoke it. You don't know why I said that, but I said it for a purpose. Because I get angry every time. I realize your Pentecostals can't believe anything. That's the trouble with them. But neither can the rest. You'll never believe unless you're ordained to it. You can't see a word for every hour. You can't see these things. You're back in Pentecost or some rotted stuff. Just full of wiggletails. See? Just understand it, brother, sister. So I don't know. A vindicated prophet said so. You can't take one without the other. You can't be sitting here without a renewed mind. Unless you're going along for the ride. Then be my guest. I got someone to preach to. I'm not being nasty. I'm just telling you the truth. So it cuts me, cuts you. What Jesus began to do in Galilee, he continues to do now. Listen, what he began to do in Galilee and discontinued, he now has continued through the display, his display of a token of the Holy Spirit back upon the church. Then it couldn't have been there for a while. Something went wrong. For it was not the acts of the apostles, it was the acts of the Holy Ghost in the apostles, and that was the token. Now you've got the repeat of the very ministry. Not just what's gone through the word over the ages and what the apostles did even, but now Christ himself. And this is the glory that cannot fade. The others faded. They said they had to take heed. Peter and John, as they passed through the gate called Beautiful, seeing their ignorance, they might say, "Hank, fetch, tote, carry." He's talking about himself. Those are Kentucky words that hardly used in Indiana High, except to a little degree, and certainly weren't used in Jerusalem. They weren't used by Moses or Paul. So he's talking about himself. Anybody knows that. See? They might have all kinds of grammar they couldn't understand. He didn't, and who needs to? Dr. Coffin told me when told a class which was beautiful, he said, grammar is the art of making yourself understood. But I'm paid to teach you some laws, so I guess you better do this. Good old Dr. Coffin. President University, age 27, had more brains than a whole bunch of them. They might not have known the difference, all the mathematics of Scripture, but they took notice that they'd been with Jesus. They displayed that token because the Spirit that was upon him before his crucifixion was upon them after the resurrection, amen, but not as it is here. There it makes in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, in this day and forever. There is how we know he lives. Because why? How do we know we live? Because he lives. And because we know we live is because we are like him and we are in him. And he said, because I live, you live also. I am he in the revelation that was dead and alive forevermore. And this is the revelation. Brother Branham is not preaching the history back of the church, the book of Acts. He's preaching now. here where Brother Branham is in the book of Acts, let's go take a look at it. Acts, the third chapter. Oh, brother, 15 sermons on the token, forget it. I'm going to quit it, call it quits this morning to last. You ready to stay here till 2 o'clock? Run home and turn the chicken down, Ma. All right, listen. He says here to Israel, the 19th verse of the third chapter of Acts in the middle, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, even he shall send Jesus Christ, which was appointed unto you. Now this is at the end time, whom the heavens must retain until the restoration of all things. Now he tells you here he's going to be sent, but he's not sent. So how can he be sent and not sent? He's talking about the two different forms. One within the body and one outside the body. One in the body and one in the pillar of fire. See? So, which God has spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets in the world began. And Moses truly said to the fathers, the prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you. He is not a prophet when he comes back in the body. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The prophetic ministry has been sublimated. The prophetic ministry has been elevated to this point. It's in the majority. It's in the maximum. At this point, and here he is coming in this hour, just before he comes back in a body. There he is, prophet. There he is, judge. There he is, king. But this picture shows us that even the prophet is sublimated to the judge. Put under, put lower. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, prophet shall Lord your God raise unto you, of your brethren, like unto me. Doesn't have to be another Moses. It's that same one. It was like unto Moses. Him you will hear in all things, what he said to you. It'll come to pass that every soul that will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed among the people. It happened when he was in the flesh. It's going to happen now in the spirit. And that's utter destruction, which is Malachi. So the book of Acts told of this coming. Brother Branham, true to the word. Get in your mind. Last day message. Last day manifestation. God on the scene in the form of the Holy Ghost. A word of this hour. That is what you're focused on, not what is behind you and what's ahead of you. People still wonder, what about those plagues? What about those trumpets? Who cares? The Holy Ghost said they weren't for us to keep your nose on them. We haven't even got a grasp on this enough to talk about trumpets and everything else. Forget it. Your memory is like a sieve like mine. The only hope I've got is not cold, 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 is knowing the doctrine. That's the only hope you got, too, because you're not that smart either. There's many of genes become ungeniusified when it comes to this word or anything else. See, if we die to ourselves and become alive in him, we are alive forevermore. How? This. Not Pentecost. I'm a holdover. Never belonged to first place. Never could fathom it. I'm at home with this. Never was home with Pentecost. Never was. It was always a put on, a put on, a put on, a put on. This ain't no put on. This is your hair let down. And just shuffle. Kick up the dust. What does it matter? I'm proud I'm Pentecost. Oh. When a preacher said that, I almost fell out of my seat. If I was sitting down. By standing up, I could have fallen down. Proud? Proud? You're arrogant. There's a different kind of proud pride that God tolerates. When they're proud where they've come to and they turn this down, that's satanic. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Come on, let's be honest. Satan fell by reason of pride. I didn't write that. Somebody else wrote it. I think it's called the Holy Ghost. We die to ourselves. We're alive forevermore. His life's in us. Is then his life in us? It's just like the life of anything else. It displays what he was. All right, his life that's in us, he displays what he was. Now, just a minute. His life in me. See? Now, that's the Father's life is in each one of us. That's speaking for the natural. Now, that life displays what was in him as far as your sonship's concerned, but it does not display what that man can do. You follow? All right, then this is what we're talking about. There is a life of a token in us, but it will never do what it does to him. But there'll be enough evidence that we are sons. Why? Because we hear our Father's word. See? You follow? Watch these things carefully. It displays what he was. That makes him the same yesterday and forever. We never make him that way, brothers and sisters. No way. Nah, you and I do not show the essentiality and the dynamics of God. That does. We receiving it show that we're children coming to Acts 3 or 2, 37, 39. Repent and be baptized, everyone, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then receiving that, all the word he said, shows that we have received that token. That, then, if we can go to Mark 16 and the rest of the scripture without fear. But you can never say the church ever proved Hebrews 13:8. No, that's God himself with his prophet. Come on, let's get that right down, brother sister. In a vague way you could say it, but if you want to become definitive, you cannot, because Brother Branham put it right down to the prophet and the pillar of fire in Genesis 18, and you dare not take away his word. How can anyone deny that? Don't you see dead works? Serve the living God by the eternal. Now, who's dead works? Pentecost, with their gifts and miracles. Many will come in that day and say, Lord, have you not prophesied, cast out devils, raised it, everything else? He said, forget it. No, you're not a part of it. Many are going to come and say, I showed love, I showed mercy, I showed grace, I did it. He said, no, you turn that down. Now let's get this. Either the prophet preached the truth, and I am preaching the truth, or look, we're just a bunch of idiots. Now, where do you go with vindication? You depend on what was vindicated to know who vindicated it. This is it right here. Who wrote it? You say God did? Okay. Then what God was that? This God. Strange, isn't it? Not the one that wrote the Koran. Or the things of Mao Zedong and things like that. No, or some great psychologist. No, no. All right. Dead works. Serve the living God by the eternal, I mean everlasting covenant of the life that was in the blood of Jesus Christ. What's he saying? Serve God by your sealing, which is the token. Now going on to the end, I wish displaying the token of his grace, his love. Now it is the token. What's the token? A token is a sign of a debt paid. The price required has been paid. The price of our salvation was death, see, and no one could pay it but Christ. Not the spirit of a denomination, nor the spirit of a pope, nor the spirit of some man or some saint, but the spirit of Jesus Christ upon the church is the token that the debt has been paid. The church is fully redeemed by the blood when he came. That picture tells you, little bride, you didn't even do it. Until that came, that there was not a voice to say, little bride, you didn't even do it. You're absolved. Judgment passed. Or you say that was in it. That's exactly why it was said, because it was in there. Go back and take a look at Paul in the 8th chapter, Romans. Romans, the 8th chapter. Now, Paul is in here, and he says here, in the 30th verse, more of whom he did predestinate, he called, whom he called, he justified, him, he justified, him, he glorified. What should we say then to these things? Is God before us, who can be against us? And now, verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now remember, some of the all things is return ministry back here. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. God says, I am righteous. Who says I'm guilty? God says I'm righteous. Who is he that condemns me to death? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. Who is at the right hand of God who maketh intercession? Now the only one that could condemn was Jesus Christ, because he owns it all. He paid the price. He said, you're free. And that's at the end time. Because you see, he said here, height and depth, anything. And that's at the end time when all of these things set in that Paul mentions, the great tribulation. He said, can anything separate us from that love that's at that period of the day of the Lord? Why, he said, nothing at all. He said, I've got a conviction. Okay? He said, hold your token. Now, let me see over here. Now, not the spirit of denomination, not the spirit of pope, and so on. That day you will know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and I in you. See? The debt's been paid. The requirement that God required is met. And now the bride is one with him. How could God condemn a bride that's one with him, with that word, with every manifestation, with every word, and said, this is it, live or die, sink or swim, that's God, that's what I want, that's mine, nothing else. When something else crosses your mind, you say, well, look, I'd have to take it to the word of Brother Branham, which he gave, and I'm not smart enough even to know, but I know this one thing. Whatever you say is fine, good, 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 you keep it. I believe this, whatever it is I believe. Now, you can't do it on a blank page and say, well, whatever I believe, whatever he said, I believe, because there comes a time when you've got to know what he said. I'm just saying that's your defense when you don't know an answer to something. And you wait till the answer comes, but you stick with this, regardless. Don't anybody come along and say this, that, and the other thing. I was in California one time, went to a man's house, and he was the kind of a preacher, and he tried to preach, and he had a seven-day Adventist there, and he fell for that guy, hook, line, and sinker. I just walked on. I said, you believe Brother Branham? He's a liar. He doesn't believe Brother Branham. What do you think? He wouldn't know he's a liar. Then he's completely deceived like me. He's got a spirit on him. It's called deception. And when a person's deceived, you'll never convince him because he thinks he's right, because that's deception. Deception is where you believe to be the truth what is not the truth, and you stand for it as though it is the truth. And to you, it is the truth. Sure. Crazy. See, this is the hour of the end of the payment of debt. Right now, coming on. He's for the bride. The price is paid, it's all over. You're free. Apply the token. Apply the token of his resurrection. What's the token of his resurrection? Coming back doing the very same things he did before. He said, I'm standing behind that. That's right. I'm full of that light. He was raised up for a justification. We are raised up all through him. And now we sit in heaven's place in Christ Jesus under the fellowship of the token. And it's very specific for this hour. Not yesterday. And just with that there, the screams are going out. There in the street. They didn't have one thing to worry about. One thing, only one thing, just be sure the blood was there, the token was showing. And that is the only thing we have to worry about right now. There is trouble on the way. Friends, it's going to be long. It isn't going to be long. Trouble is striking. He said, judgment has already struck America. Starting in, what, 64 in March? Okay. I understand that was the start of the sixth seal, too, of tribulation. That is, not the great six, 3.5 years, but starting. Be sure the token is showing, and the token is the Holy Spirit. For by one Spirit we're all baptized in one body and made partakers of His glory. Now there's a glory for every age. Brother Branham said so. He said, what a glory Luther had over the Catholics. What a glory Wesley had over the Lutherans. And what a glory Pentecost had over the West End. But he said, what a glory this is, he said, is a glory that never passed away. Now watch what it is. Now where the Spirit, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, before that, there was a veil over the faces. People were clouded out by the devil's lies. But we all, with open face, unveiled faces, the living word is coming, now we know the truth. Beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, like looking in a looking glass, you see yourself. Now, at this point, you don't see yourself anymore. In the Word, you see Christ and you in Him. Now, that glory is from the... We are changing the image of the Lord from glory to glory. Now, listen. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now, Paul says that his ministry he had will be duplicated at the end time. When he appears, we'll be like him, which is spiritually and physically. That glory cannot fade, brother, sister, because we don't die. There'll be somebody here not dying. Now, Paul said this, I have that ministry for this hour. William Branham has it for this hour. Now he said, because we have received mercy, we don't faint. Now, he's telling you something. We've been entrusting with something so big that it takes a big cartload of God's mercy put into my soul like anything to start to handle it. See? Now, what's he done? In order to bring this glory that's been given to him to give to us, which is reflection from to prophet to us, like that cyclotron, moving, moving, moving. Just keep your eyes on it, see? All right, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not working in craftiness, walking cutting, They're handling the word of God to people. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That's exactly what happened this time. But if our gospel is hid, if William Branham's gospel is hid, don't call it the gospel of Christ, call it William Branham's gospel. Call it our gospel. If our message of this hour is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the gods of this world, the gods will have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined into our hearts in the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now that's this hour. Now notice what he said here. He said, and ourselves, he said, our servants for Jesus' sake. Now, Brother Brandt, the word of God also says, now this spells out victory. Christ isn't here. The Holy Ghost is here. The Holy Ghost doesn't have a tabernacle. So the lowest one with the Holy Ghost becomes a legate of God. We are ambassadors for Christ. Let's look at that 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Now watch. It says right here, verse 20, now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God beseech you by us, as though God did beseech you by us, ambassador seat. We pray you in Christ's stead. I'm here instead of Christ. You be reconciled. Now, let's just see how far this goes. Let me take you right to James, the 5th chapter, and we're going to see something here that people don't understand this. Look. I'm going to tell you because you will understand. Verse 19, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him. In other words, there's one person you know was wrong, and somebody steps out and converts him. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Now, you know what he's telling you right there? It says you are to convert somebody. You know Brother Branham says it in concerning Luke where Jesus said, when you're converted, Peter, you, thank you, brethren, he said converted means he's full of the Holy Ghost. So when you get somebody full of the Holy Ghost, you do it. And you save a soul from death. It tells that word sozo is the same word that said Jesus came to seek and to save. I was in Edmonton one time. Up there, I don't know if they're DD believers or returned ministers, I don't know. But I said, Brother Branham actually saved my soul life. And they spread the word around that Lee Vail is deity because he said, Brother Branham saved his soul. What about this scripture here? They didn't know their Bible. They still don't know their Bible. They still don't know who Brother Branham is. We do. I make the statement, we do. And we do. I make the statement, we know who the token is. And we do. We know why he could only come now. We understand that. We know categorically these things. We don't have any trouble. Now, if we give them trouble, that's their fault. I didn't go preach anywhere. If they want to misapprehend my words, they're tough luck. But it says right here, you can actually fill a man full of the Holy Ghost and save him from death. How? The same way the Roman Catholic Church pretends they can do it. Because they got the keys. They didn't know they don't. We have it. Because Brother Branham said, sure, he said, I can save souls. He will do it if the church does it the way Jesus. How was that at Pentecost? How was that? Repent and be baptized, everyone. You bring the word to that person. Now, if you can do that, because you're full of the Holy Ghost, see what that places you? A literal Messiah or a Christ, just like Brother Branham said so. There's where vicarship goes, right down to the nth degree. See? Made partake of his glory. On our lap home, march to the promised land. Do you love him? Do you believe the token? How many would like to say, oh, Brother Branham, pray for me that I will come under this token? And he prays the prayer, Lord Jesus, most gracious one, when the world was in sin, no one could help God in mercy foreshowing by a type that there was a coming token that could take away sin, not just cover it, but take it away. And Jesus came right on time, notice that, right on time, and he shed his blood, his own life taking, making an atonement for our sins, and then presenting him back in the form of the Holy Ghost, which is now a token that is kept to the church until he comes. Well, he's in spirit form now. He's going to come in visible form. For the Apostle Peter said, the promise unto you and children, all that are far off, even the names of the Lord our God to call. Now, if you wanted to split that and said there's no Holy Ghost in all the ages except the first and the last age, you could just about do in that verse. The promise to you and your children, all that are far off. Well, he said, that's Gentiles. That's not us. What if it's worth us? I'm not trying to make Scripture say what it's not saying. I'm just saying, look, I don't care how you look at this thing. There has to be the Holy Spirit magnified at the end time as he never has been since the first time. Let's understand that, my brother, sister. Let's understand he's here in the form of the Holy Spirit doing exactly in a pillar of fire what he did when he was in human body. Let's get that flat. Let's not beat it. Stand with it if it's a die for it. See, I'm sorry. That was it. What if they do put the thumb screws on us in the rack? We don't know what's going to happen. Brother Brandon didn't tell us. There's a repeat of all diabolical cunning. What if it's just ostracism? People think, you know, the Mohammedans killed off all the Christians in Africa, the 53 Coptic churches. No way. They just came in and took over and said, now, if you want to be part of society, you join us. You be a Christian. You live alone. Peer pressure. Politics. Christianity died. I don't know what's going to happen. Thank God I don't know. See, what are you going to do when it does happen? I don't know. I can't say anything. But by grace, I'll do the right thing. Lord, by your grace, your help, I claim everyone that hears this message. Claim them for God. I pray thee, Lord, both here this morning, both that hear the tape. And if there be a seat anywhere that's destined, Lord, to hear the word this day, may they come now, sweetly and humbly. One, lay their trophies down at the cross, their self, as a trophy of grace of God that has called them. Two, may be filled with the Holy Ghost. Three, display the token of the life of Jesus Christ in his resurrection. So you see, our progression is right. You come repenting through the foreordination of Almighty God. You believe. You're baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ. You receive the Holy Ghost and word piled on word. Obedience, word, obedience, word. Faith, obedience, word. Faith, obedience. We're just circling all the time again. Word, see, then you believe it and you obey it. Right on the line. Up, 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 more and more. Going from faith to virtue to knowledge to temperance and brotherly kindness and all those right up there at the very top. I forget some of them laid in there. You display the token that the life of Jesus Christ in his resurrection as long as I remain here in his grand Lord. These words, Lord, I might have not said them right, and if I didn't, I pray the Holy Ghost take those words, present them the way they should be presented, the people understand and know without malice, and let them know love's corrected, that they might know it is because of the hour we're living in. And let me just go on down here. Now, I don't want you to miss it, he says. You mustn't do it. Now, just sweetly, humbly, with all that's in your heart, lay today down just real deep. Say, Lord Jesus, right now, just take all that's in me that's unlike you, and let me move all my pride, all that's in me, all the trash, all unbelief that's in me. You know, there's no point in moving out the TV till the trash is moved out, is there? Well, you see, I think the TV has the trash. Okay, kick out the TV and pray the trash would go next. All the unbelief in me, I discard it now, Lord. I just kick it out and let the sweet Holy Spirit of God, like a dove, move down in me. And I'm led by a dove. I want to live eternally, Lord. I want you to help me at this time. Grant it, Lord. See, if the sinner doesn't want this, he doesn't want God. If he wants something else, he just wants this, that. See? That's why people come to William Branham and they want a gift. How can you want a gift when you can see this? Oh, they put you under obligation, under duress. When I worked in the gift ministry, I was on the spot to do something. I'm the spot to do nothing anymore. God does it all. All he's got to do is give me a word for you, and that's, I'm clear. So they sang, I love him. Now, the last little bit he says here. Never let this message depart. The blood shall be a token that the life has been given, see, and when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Now, I'm going to go back and do what I did at the beginning we started this message. We read from desperation. I hope I got time to cover it. I think we have. All right, listen. Now I'm sure I hope that you got what the token meant, see. The token is the sign that the blood has been applied, that the price has been asked, that's been asked, required of God. Jesus paid that price by shedding his own blood. He did that. Then from his life came the Holy Spirit. And when the blood is applied to you, the Holy Spirit is the token that your price is paid. In other words, the blood has not availed unless you're full of the Holy Ghost. So you see, people say, what is the blood on the mercy seat or off? If you're not full of the Holy Ghost, what does it mean to you? When was it ever on for you?
Amen.
So you turned it down. The Spirit answers to the blood. That's an old Pentecostal thing. That's an old scriptural thing. I read it dozens of times here. It says, whereof the Holy Ghost, no, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. By the blood, it tells you, he's perfected forever. Whereof the Holy Ghost is witness to us also. The Holy Ghost witness to the blood. If you thoroughly repented, you're under the blood. If you're under the blood, the Holy Ghost has got to come.
Amen.
And where is carrying and all these things Pentecost talked about and everybody talked about? Is believing. See? And then the evidence comes along. Okay. The blood's applied to you, the Holy Ghost is a token, the price is paid, God's received you, and that's the token. Remember that as the token. Now, there's many people who don't. They just don't know what the token is. And you have to make it like nobody knows it, see, so that all of them will get it. Just like preaching salvation. We have to preach salvation in a way that everybody, that's for everybody, which we know it isn't. We have to preach divine healing for everybody, and we know it isn't. See, Jesus came to save those who were in the book of redemption before the foundation of the world, because redeem means to buy back, see. He only came to save those. Who are they? I don't know, see. But you, nobody can have faith unless you say it's for whosoever, and it is. Because for whosoever. See? Like Spurgeon said, over the outside of the church is a big sign. Whosoever you may come. Right. On the sign of the altar, it's the elect of God foreknown before the foundation of the world. See? There's so many people who won't be saved. We know that. God knew that they... That before the word began, that they wouldn't be saved. There's many won't be healed. Many will not be healed. Just can't. They can't grasp it. They don't know what it is. Many will be. But we preach that it's for everybody because we don't know who that person is. We just don't know. But it's whosoever. But some people just can't grasp that faith. Now, the same thing about this token. The token we talked to the token all the way along. I said, the token. We have talked to the token all the way along. Not about, but to. But now is manifestation of the token. We've talked. But now he's here proving. Now, we have sometimes allowed it, the Lutherans allowed it, to accepting the Word, accepting Christ as personal Savior. They got the major spirit for that. Potentially, they had the Holy Ghost, the Lutheran people. Not the individual, the Lutheran. But only potential. What is potential? It means that it's not really there. But it's good cause to believe it would be there, see? The Methodist said when you get happy enough to shout that Pentecost, that speak in tongues, you got it. We find out that all of that was wrong. See, the token is the token. Not a gift. Not a sensation. Not a revelation. Not an interpretation. No, sir. Not a manifestation. It's the token. Manifestation, interpretation, revelation comes out of it. Depending on the office and the person. Now, I said office of the Holy Ghost. He couldn't be the token sealing in at the end time way back there under Luther. He could be just putting him in. See? Now, the token is the token. Now listen, what is it? It's you and Christ as persons together. Now that's you and I as believers, not this. No way, shape, and form. See? It's the Holy Spirit. His life in you. It doesn't say he's in you. It says his life is in you. Like the life of your father. Your father's not in you. Your mother's not in you. You're you. You're a combination of flesh and spirit of that life. Okay, his life is working. His own life working through you. And it's for the rich, the poor, whosoever will. Now remember the token is you go to the railway company, you buy your fare. There's a price, cost say 50 cents. You ride this bus line or the railway to Charleston, Indiana, maybe cost 50 cents. Well, now the company puts out token. Now the thing you do is go down there, you purchase your token, 50 cents. Then you give the token. Then they give you a token. They give you a token that gives you the right. You see, that gives you the right on that train till its destination, wherever that train goes. See, that's a token. Now, in this case, the blood was a token. Literally, it had to be applied because it was just chemistry. It's all they had. Because it was lamb's blood, or lamb's blood, animal was a lamb's blood. He repeats himself. So, the life that was in the blood, the life that was gone out, so the blood was shed. The life went out. It couldn't come back on the believer because it was an animal. But it only spoke of a good conscience that there was coming one, capital N-E, a perfect sacrifice. And to make it a perfect one, listen, the whole judge, the God in heaven, became the sacrifice, the jury, the judge, the attorney. He became the sacrifice, and then when his life went out, which was God, and the word there, where it comes out, I'll give eternal life. Now, in the Greek, I know I'm talking to scholars, see? The word, the Greek there is Zoe, Z-O-E, in the Greek, which means God's own life. I will give unto him, Zoe, my own life. Christ and God was one. That's right, God is in Christ, in that body. Then the life that was in Christ is the Holy Ghost. That's right. Now the third person, not the third person, but the same person in the form of the Holy Spirit coming upon you as a token that your life and your fare is paid. You have been accepted. Until that token comes, you're not permitted on the highway. You're not permitted on the bus line. You're not permitted to go in until you present this token. And that token is your fare. Now it shows that the blood has been shed and been applied to you and the price has been applied to you and you have the token that the blood has applied to you and you're accepted. Get it now? Oh my. No certain evidence. See? Not any certain evidence, no. See, you say, Brother Branham, I feel in my mind, you see. Well, how will I know? Look, what were you? What are you? Here's how you know, see? What were you before the token was applied? What were you after it was applied? What was your desire before? And what's your desire after? Then you know where the tokens of pilot are. And these are the things that automatically go there. Now, if you're a raw sinner coming in, that'll try to you real good. Well, I wasn't a raw. I was pretty raw heathen in myself when I came and saw the message. I saw Brother Branham. But already having received a measure of the Holy Spirit, I said, that's it. Now, you see, you've got to understand, whether you receive the token or not, it's a matter of your sheer faith and your complicity. Not too nice the word, it's a good word. Your complicity with this, the Holy Spirit manifesting. In other words, you're a real accomplice of this. You go for it 100%. You're defendant, you back it. Everything says that's it. See? Now, look at your life. What were you then? Well, I see a growth in for everybody I look at, I believe. Of course, I keep my head down right now. But, no, when I associate with people, I see growth. I'd like to see more growth in my own life. I look in the mirror and I say, oh boy, physically it's gone backwards, but spiritually I trust it's gone upwards. God even gave Brother Branham a photograph of the outer man dying in the spiritual man, inner man, growing day by day, going into glory. That's the scripture, that's the word of God, and Corinthians tells you that. Okay, what were you? Okay, when you came in as a denominational person, whatever you were, and you began looking at this, as you began to believe, something began to happen to you, and you know you're not that same person. But you've identified with this, then where are you? If you identified with anything else but that, and it made you wrong, then identifying with this has got to make you right, because you could not identify and give up what you had and wholeheartedly back this, unless you're just a carnal make-believer and a very good deceiver, which I doubt that very much. I don't think you're plain as a simple, plain old deceiver. You could come around and stomach me. You could take that, but you couldn't hack me. So that's a pretty good evidence right there. You've got something going for you. All right. Like talking about it, say, tongues is the evidence. Now, I'll buy a pair of shoes. The tongue is not the shoe. It comes with the shoe. It just comes with the shoe. See? Now, the same thing as the token. The token is Christ. But speaking in tongues, casting the devil, doing those things, and preaching, whatever it is the evidence. It's their truth, but it's not it. In other words, it's evidential that something is there. But it is not it. In other words, let's keep reading. The devil can... I told you, Mr. Giffey said, you say, I want you, Brother Branham, and I give you a gift. See, well, that's not me. That's my gift. Tongues is a gift of the Holy Ghost. Not the Holy Ghost, a gift of the Holy Ghost. It's just like it's like faith and virtue and the temperance and knowledge and brotherly kindness. Those things are not the Holy Ghost themselves, but they come out of it. Attributes. See, try to think of a seed that turns into a poppy. You're looking at the attributes that lay in there in a physical form. But that itself is not it. You cannot see the real thing. See? But you know the real thing is there because there's evidences. This is the real thing. We've seen the evidence. And our evidence is having received it. The devil can impersonate any of these things, but he can't be the Holy Ghost. He can impersonate, but he cannot be the Holy Ghost. See, he can impersonate these gifts, but he can't be the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is the token the blood's been applied, because it follows the blood all the way from the book of redemption. See, that was the purpose of him coming. The Holy Ghost, the purpose coming was to follow that blood. To make sure that every single one that was under the blood, looking forward or backward, would positively make it. And that's true, because those that were under the blood until he came, he went down in the form of the Spirit and brought him right out with him. He never failed. That token will never fail. Why? Because the token is God. It's Jesus Christ among us, brother, sister. Now, that's what he followed in every age. Every age he's followed that disease that is brought forth. And they could not be made perfect without us. And now the entire Holy Spirit visits the church. The entire Holy Spirit did not visit the church until now. Well, if the entire Spirit did not visit the church, what portion of him did? That which was commensurate with the Word. See? There you understand these things, how it could be. Now, the entire Holy Spirit visits the church, making God in human flesh, as he did before Sodom. Now, come on, that's right there again. That's God and the prophet. God in human flesh, burning there, which was a type. If it's going to burn at the end time, Couldn't be before. Then Abraham, he appeared to him. He appeared to Abraham. This is the appearing. The token is the appearing. See? All the things that he hasn't done down through the ages in the church ages, he's doing now. See? It was okay. That's why he said, okay, in Luther's day, okay, that day. But now it's not okay. The whole panoply has got to be manifested and demonstrated that this is the one Christ, all of him. And when you see that, you know you've got a part of him. Or you soon will have. Now, you can't sit here under this ministry and begin to get even 10% and not have the Holy Ghost in my books, brother, sister, because I've labored for years in what I see. To fight my mind and everything else, and I'm still fighting it. Because I knew he said certain things, they had to land, and you have to bat them, just really bat them back and forth, weave them back and forth until there it stands suddenly, and you get just to quote the exact word. See, we're not automatons, we're not too smart, we're just ordinary people here. Now, you might be smart in some things, but there's none smart in the Word of God, for a dead it. You're smart in the Word of God, you're to the mechanic. You're a grease monkey with the Word. You're not sheep, you're a grease monkey. Get the serpent, sticking around. God be sheep. Holy Ghost got to show it to you. Back to the Word, because the messages and the messages and the messages, you see, all seven church ages, has to wind up in the entire Word. And the last days, the seven seals being opened, was to pick up every straggle that's been left off of it and make the whole thing in one great big body of the bride, and that those who lived back there were not perfect, and this church is perfected. The bride group in the last days, to bring them in and all together be taken up. In other words, what comes from this, the head of the church could not raise the dead until he was head of the church. That's going to bring us all together. The token, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit's among us. Didn't see it, it said among us. We should reverence that. We can't humble ourselves enough. Taking off our shoes and getting on our knees wouldn't satisfy. It wouldn't suffice. But a life that brings forth the fruit of the Spirit. Now what's the fruit of the Spirit? See, love, joy, peace, and so on. Remember this morning, preparation, send the messenger with the message. Now listen, tell me about the token. Remember, preparation, send the messenger with the message. Next thing he did after he sent the messenger with the message, he sent the pillar of fire for vindication. The next thing was consolation. Now how could you have any consolation if the Holy Spirit didn't quicken this to you to give you your consolation? You just stand back and wonder, what's it all about? What am I missing? What's going on? Hey, what's this? What's that? You couldn't say, hey, I know. See? You couldn't, but you can now. Look, you just got to know. Look, let's face it. There's no way you can't know. All right? Now, this morning I told you, not being with you, I think we have another 2-3 hour message this morning, but just got started. I thought I'd carry it over for tonight, but it was just too tremendous, and I don't know whether people got it or not. I hope they do everywhere. I hope there's some kind of good tapes, not... so it can be known, carried out and known, that I believe all of the message they ever brought in absolute was ordained to God. Listen, he's talking about this message. That he said, I believe of all the messages that I ever brought, that absolutely was ordained of God, outside of course the regular commission. Now watch, regular commission. This is a message outside the regular commission, like the seven seals and things that were directly the Word of God. He's telling you he preached those seals under absolute inspiration of the Holy Ghost with the hank and the tote and the fetch. Hallelujah. And the ungrammatical inconsistencies, the starting and the stopping and the reversions. Amen. Was all God.
Amen.
So the scoffer could say, my God's educated. He speaks German and French beautifully, and this guy can't even talk English. So much for the savant. Ha! Sooner I'd listen to Will Rogers any day. Not Roy, said Will, or Will Rogers. The sarcastic Indian reporter that went down in the plane crash. He said, I'm talking about a message to preach. I believe that one was it. The one that's needed to follow those seven seals. In other words, I came behind what God directly said in order to help you with what has been said. Now watch what comes after the seven seals. Now watch. The uniting of the people, united signs, the red light flashing in the last days, the sign of women getting prettier, the men, what they would do, all these signs of the Holy Spirit leading up. then come right back here to the capping off of all these messages since the seven seals. It's capped off in this one thing, the token that we are all right. See, just check ourselves with this message and see if you have it in your heart, you believe it, you know it. Then you know you are one of those who took the seven seals. You want any trouble with him. You know you're going to make it. You know you've been sealed in as an individual, and the whole church has been sealed in. And you know that you stand here just like Jesus Christ stood here. That's right. In your own little position. Not a magnified position or something else, but the little place that God gave you, where we're all little men and little women with a great big God, which makes us one great big body that God resides in. See? He sent a messenger with a message. We received it. Why? Because we were ordained to it. He said, Brother Bale, what if this message is wrong? We were ordained to it. We're not fatalists and simply shoulder shruggers. We're cognizant of the word of truth. That as many as were ordained unto eternal life believed. And if you weren't ordained, you wouldn't believe. And there are men, Jude brings out, were ordained on the other side. They weren't ordained like we're ordained, foreordained. They were spoken of. Men would rise up. We have been raised up. We did not rise up. We were raised up. Amen. Sure, you can prove it by the fact you wouldn't have taken this message on a scoop shovel on your own. You think I don't want to have anything to do with him and go back preaching? You've got to be silly. I was away from preaching. I was happy I was away from preaching. Who needed to preach? Forget it. Gee, I saw him one night, cried buckets of tears, and said, phooey, got to go back preaching. Who wants to preach? Bought myself a black suit. I told you, dust off the Bible, put it back on the shelf, hung the black suit up. 2 years, TB of the pituitary gland. Life wasn't worth living. I was dying on the vine. When he healed me, and I knew, oh, brother, back to the sawdust trail. That was it. So, I figure that's not vindication. That's not even indication. But I believe the message of the hour. I'm sold on it. I don't know that I'm right in what I teach. That I teach exactly as he taught. I believe I do. I'm convinced I do. As much as I can be convinced. But this is where I stand. Live or die, sink or swim. But this is not it. What's the goal? I came out of all the other stuff. There's nothing down the road, brother, sister. What are you going to do? See, that's real faith. Now just let the Holy Ghost take that faith and begin to use it in our daily walk, creating an atmosphere. My, what will it do in this church and in our environmental environment of atmosphere where we take around? In other words, you can't take your atmosphere out of your environment. Look, come on. I've not been called to run around the world and preach the kings, neither of you. I've been called in this little area here to deal with you. You're called with your friends to deal with them. So in your environment, what your topographical situation is, what your geographical situation is, you take that atmosphere with this. Take an atmosphere with this. And pray that God will lead you. And make sure that you just know that leading. It's right in a divine channel, brother, sister. Where the scripture says, let me read it and I'm going to let you go home now because we're just finishing up on beautiful time here. I don't even have to preach on Wednesday. That's in Ephesians. And it says right here in the book of Ephesians, the actual literal translation here, unto him, now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that work within us, unto him be glory. That's unto him who in the exercise of his own power that is at work within us is able to do infinitely beyond our highest prayers and thoughts. To him be glory in the church and all generations, world without end. It's he exercising his own power that's at work within us. And he hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. Of, yeah, he hath given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. You got the first time your mind was sound. You got the mind of Christ. Where do I stand? Just what the judge said. You're the sinless, virtuous, righteous bride of Jesus Christ. You didn't do it at all. Individually perfect, collectively perfect, ready for a resurrection anytime. What hinders it? I don't know. It's up to God to set his own moment. Shall we rise and pray and be dismissed? Again, Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your love and kindness. And I certainly appreciate, Lord, your grace toward me this morning, allowing me to cover so much ground I didn't think I'd be able to do. But I want to tell you, Lord, I'm very grateful that you gave me the ability, which is only by the Holy Spirit moving and helping, to be able to do this, what we wanted to do this morning and even beyond it. We cannot praise you enough, cannot thank you enough. Stand here, Lord, in your presence, in humility, as much as we know how. Father, bless everybody in your divine presence here. May there not be one sick one amongst us from this moment on. Somehow, Lord, we know it is not only possible, but it's us for us. It's not just putting your word, Lord. It's a living reality. For we know that Mark 16 was never, ever taken away from the word of God. Never erased, never canceled. Never set to one side. But, Lord, it always was in the church. Now, the mightier than ever, you yourself right here, Lord, in the form of the Holy Spirit, in a pillar of fire, the token. Father, we know you're appearing amongst us. We know this is that hour of the shout. Soon the resurrection, soon the rapture, the catching away, soon the marriage, soon the wedding supper, soon the return to earth. All these things, Lord, we know are ours. Oh God, may we know them as we never known before, with a sobriety, a sincerity, a wonderment, a life. Oh God, help us, Lord, because we cannot abide this lukewarmness. Lord, we hate it the same as you do. Help us, oh God, stir up thy power within us. Stir us up, oh Lord, we pray. Arise and let the enemy be scattered. Let them be defeated. Let us know once and for all how Satan is defeated, Lord. Let it be a part of our lives. We're not asking for Brother Branham's vision, Lord. We're just asking for the results. That's all, Lord. We're not asking for a ministry. We just want what the ministry brought for us. Lord, we don't want to be anything but what we are in the sense of where you place it. But, Lord, we want everything that's in that place. Oh, Father God, that's what we do. So, Father in heaven, the preparations the prophet said would bring the consolation. Let the consolation now abide. Let it not be one, Lord God, of stagnation, but a forthrightness of a life that is truly of thee. Now, Lord, direct our path in all our ways, O God, in everything we say and do. Let us come into this place of a family unity, Lord, here. You know my heart, Father, and you also know my heart. You know my heart's desire, Lord, is to be have this lovely, lovely, virtuous thing I talk about. But you also know my rottenness, Lord, too. You know myself, oh God, that I'd be certainly throw a monkey wrench into the works. Father God, maybe there's more than one like me here this morning. I certainly hope not. I certainly hope, Lord, that we could all be zealous of all these good things and graces of thine, oh God, and sweet, and abiding in your presence until there's no monkey wrenches thrown in. There's no little quirks and no little things here and there, but there's just a pulling together, even though it means a sacrifice, Lord. A sacrifice of self-denial, which is a mighty good thing, Lord, to do and to anticipate and bring ourselves into, Lord. For there we see real love beginning to operate. Father, help us in these things because this is what we want. Because, Lord, we've caught a little bit of a vision through your grace, by your Spirit, through this word piling word on word, Lord. It's all of you that we see this standing up before us, this lovely, lovely, virtuous bride, this family, this excellency, as the prophet said, a brother to brother, brother to a sister, minister to ministers, right down the line, Lord. Oh, God in heaven. What more? What more? This token life, Father, that's what we want. So now, Father, we understand as now by the faith, hope, and love. We come through faith, come through hope, but now we're standing in love. Love bringing to perfection, O God. Surely, Lord, we can stand here and believe as never before that a sweet spirit move right into the church, that sweet spirit, gifts as it were on the shelf, God himself.